Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Rhonda Kulch of Unfiltered. And it wouldn't be another amazing week if I wasn't bringing the most fabulous entrepreneurs onto our show to share their journey. And today's guest, I'm so excited. It's always those last minute 911s that bring the most excitement to the opportunity for me interviewing. And our guest today is Robert LoCascio. And some of you might remember him or know him from LivePerson. But the last few years, Rob has been on this amazing journey of bringing a safe and digital world to our youth. So with us today is Rob. How are you?
Great to be here, Rhonda. Thanks for having me.
Oh my God, this is going to be so exciting, especially because I'm in the journey now where my children have grown. So what you're building is really for the next generation, or what I would say would be my future grandchildren. And when I was given the introduction about your background and what you're building, I was so excited to have you on because I want to pick your brain just for a little bit and talk about the why behind KidCo.
Yeah. So, you know, my background, you know, I ran a very large technology company called LivePerson. I invented when you chat on websites, and for 28 years built that company into a, you know, a multi-billion dollar company. And then I decided to leave almost 2.5 years ago. And, you know, I have young children. I got married 10 years ago and I have a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. And this is the first time I've had kids. And as they've grown up, you know, as a parent, you start to, you know, the number one thing for your a child is to protect them, right? That's like our number one thing as a parent, and to give them a great life and let them be the best they can be. And as my kids have grown up and they are engaging with, you know, this device and YouTube and YouTube Kids specifically, and there's Roblox and everything else, what my wife and I, and then, you know, all the other parents that are in my, obviously most of our friends are parents, most of our conversation is about how this is really hurting our children. And it's, and I use that word really specifically because it's really, we can see that when our children are engaged with YouTube or YouTube Kids, and my, as what you see is a change in personality and addictive behavior. You know, my kids will steal my phone. When we take the phone away from them, they get angry and very aggressive. And when I was single, looking at parents giving their kids an iPad, I'm like, and I like, I will never do that. I'm never going to do that. And I'm going to, but the reality is, like, parents want a break and you end up, your kids see you on devices. And so, as you know, Jonathan Haidt wrote this book called The Anxious Generation. It came out last year. It was a big bestseller around how the phone, the actual physical device, which enables the software, the apps, has created a generation of children that are suffering from suicide, depression. And I see my children heading towards the same path. And I wanted to do something about it.
I think a lot of it, too, has to do with the way that our youth are socialized now. And it's not because we as parents are not interested in the communication, but you're hitting it on the head. It takes one set of friends to say, have you been on this game? Have you tried this? Let me introduce you. And I'll be the first to say, you know, I have 5 kids. I have 5 boys. And there is an age gap between my oldest and my youngest, right? My oldest now is 29. My youngest is 17. But when they were young, you know, Grand Theft Auto and some of these other games that are still popular today, you know, my kids, my little ones were exposed. So a lot of times what happens is it's the exposure, and then that becomes their learned socialization, which just makes it hard as an adult to kind of work around that. So you've created this product. And what I really want to focus on for today is the development. You know, we understand that you're angry, right? You're an angry parent saying, I really thought this would never be me, until you're sitting in that position saying, I needed a break. I thought it was okay. But now it's like anything else. How do I reverse it and turn it into something more productive? And that was really the inspiration behind, you know, Kit Company. So walk me through, you know, that aha moment, and then what it actually looks like to build what you have built. Because I think what happens is parents are just go, oh, there's just another app, or there's just another program. And there is a process that needs to occur. So let's start with the initial aha moment.
Yeah, I mean, the initial aha moment came from my middle son, Leonardo, and who's now 7 years old, but he's like 5 years old. And when I left LivePerson, you know, I was starting to think about some of the things I wanted to do. And he, you know, somehow, he actually created a company called Kidco for a school thing with his friend and his imaginary company, which I thought was kind of interesting. We talked about robotics. We talked about giving him a device that he could have in his hands. And we talked about all that stuff. And that really led me to understanding what I wanted to build. I wanted to build a physical device. I wanted to build something that, you know, he could actually use and that he could hold and that he could own. And that's the part that was really important to me, is that it's just not an app, because the apps, unfortunately, will sit on a normal device. And once they're on this thing, they go on to other things. And that's where I felt like I need to make a change here. You know what I'm saying? I need to build the device. And when I read Jonathan Haidt's book around how devices with their front cameras and all the things that have on them, I realized this is the gateway. This is the thing that is the gateway for children having issues. It's not just the apps. It's not just social media. It's Apple and Google, Samsung have enabled things in their devices that enable children to potentially be harmed by these devices. So I said, let me take on, you know, doing something with the device. So
what you've developed is a standalone unit that becomes their buddy in essence.
Yes.
So walk me through, you are at this development stage. You're like, Leonardo, thanks for the inspiration. Dad really didn't want to be in retirement, right? Like, this is what comes out of it. Like, give me a project to do. So now you're working on this device. How do you know how to build it? And what does that research and development look like for somebody in your space?
Yeah, so I'm definitely a software person and understand the power of software. So I envisioned, you know, how do I take a device and make it so it can deliver the best software in the world? Now, I was an early pioneer in many different technologies, and including in AI. I brought AI to the contact center world back in 2018. So if you text message, American Express or Delta Airlines or T-Mobile, you would have talked to a automated chatbot and stuff like that. That was my company's technology. So I was early in on it. And I basically thought AI is an extraordinary technology. And although there's a lot of things about it that we talk about taking our jobs and everything, actually, I thought the greatest parts about it are really the ability to be the best creator that you can be. And for a child to be a great creator, they can have the power just to talk to a device, to talk to something, say, I want to build this thing that's in my head. I want to create that. And that's what we're able to do. And so I thought, let's take the power of creativity that AI gives us, and let's put that in the hands of a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old. You know, let's give them the power to learn differently, because this generation is the AI generation. My children are the AI generation. They are going to grow up using AI for learning, creating, you know, engaging in the world. You know, that's the world that they're going to grab. So I want to create something first to put into the hands of children and families that will provide a positive foundation for that, and not something that's, once again, assaulting children, taking advantage of kids, messing with their brains, getting the beatics.
You claimed it, because it's not a safe space when you are in some of these apps and the apps are following what you are doing. You know, call it for what it is. So let's just pretend we're sitting in your kitchen right now. Are you sitting with your 3 kids saying, Dad's got an idea and I need, you are now my power team. Leonardo, you are now my chief technology officer. We are building this together. You know, how important was it for you to get the feedback from your kids? Because that's your avatar, right? You know, that is your exact avatar of who you are building this for.
Yeah. And that was the cool thing is that I had these, you know, you got these three, let's call them product designers I live with, plus my wife, because, you know, mothers also play a tremendous role in all of this. It's, you know, first of all, they control the purchases that are happening in the house, and they're controlling what comes in and out of the house, especially with these types of device, or sometimes there's toys or educational things. So I have, you know, we sat and went through, what do you guys want to do? And so, like, there were so many different ideas that came out of their minds about, like, I would love to talk to characters that, like, are fun and interesting or could help me with homework help. I'd love to create stories, or, Daddy, is it possible to create, like, a piece of art, you know, from AI? You know, so we started to experiment on different things. And that led me to understanding what the KID device, which, by the way, KID means keep it dreaming. So it's about, you know, that you keep the device dreaming, you keep dreaming. And that's really what I did. Obviously, it was a big change because hardware, people talk about hardware and the challenges of building hardware devices. And so I just took a different approach to hardware also through my 30 years of being in software. I applied some principles to hardware to make hardware not so hard.
You know, when we hear the journey of bringing any good product to market, again, people see it on the shelf and they don't put much thought into just picking up a device. It could be anything. It could be a notebook, a pocketbook, a cell phone. It could be the cup that I'm drinking my coffee from, right? They don't think about anything but the end product in mind. When you were designing the product, what were the top two or three things that you were most aware of to know that that was going to make your product stand out above others?
Number one is safety, that the product under no circumstance could a child do something bad to themselves. Could they do something bad to another person by creating something? Can they be exposed to anything? And then the last part was really, how do the parents play into, you know, this whole thing? How do parents play into observing what's going on with the child and the device and all that? So my number one thing was, we got to get to the place where I, as a parent, feel like this is a positive to my kids. It's not another trick by a social media company to get into the minds of children and we're going to do bad things. So obviously these are my children and it starts with my kids, and I'm not going to hand them anything that's going to hurt them. So that was the first part. The second part was, how do we take advantage of them being awesome creators? Like, kids have the most fantastic imaginations. And so when you think of that, you just think, like, man, there's so much more in there than an adult a lot of times, because adults go through life and we're, you know, our imaginations get kind of squashed down sometimes, but a kid doesn't know anything. My son, Lorenzo, he's four. He always likes to make a shark eating a squid, like a picture of shark eating a squid, eating a this, eating a that. And he does this whole thing. And it's like so funny. You can never, that's not reality. But for him, it's so fun. It's what's magic. So the device has to be taking advantage of the children's creative power. And the third part was really about the educational, and I'll call it community parts, which is, how do we educate our children using these devices? How does a community like schools, because we work with schools now and we do after school programs, we have a store here in California. How do we bring all of that? Because ultimately it's a community that's going to be around this, which the first community is really about education, you know, and that group of educators and even parents, and it goes way beyond that. And I thought these are the three big things. So safety, creativity, education, community are the three pillars of the product.
You know, when you design this, knowing how many, I call it screen time, how much screen time a child may have on a device, did you have a specific timeline in mind on, you know, when I allow my son to go on the device, it's programmed for 20 minutes or 30 minutes? You know, walk me through what the experience of the user looks like.
Yeah. So when I when I'm with my children, like I do bedtime stories with my kids, with the kid device. And when I do that, we actually co-create together. So it's a little device. I'll bring it here in a second. And we basically, we create stories together. And it's a very weirdly different thing that I would never sit with my children. Like I have this image because a couple of days ago I was laying down with Lorenzo on my chest, and when we have kid and we're talking through, making stories. So we made a story about him and I went to got on a rocket ship and we went up to space and we did all these phenomenal things together. I would never do that with my iPhone. Like, I don't want to be in the same space with him. So what happens is, as a parent, you have to retrain yourself a little bit about what the device means. Cause up to then, the device is like a harmful thing that you don't want to be involved with your kid. You don't even want to look at them using it. But here I'm like engaging with them. My daughter wanted to make waffles last Sunday. And I'm like, let's make a character to help you cook. And the character took her through, versus me going on my phone and Googling, waffle recipe. And she talked to the character and it helped her with the recipe and all the stuff like that. So, that's the cool stuff that we can do. It's a different thing. So I do leave the device. I do leave kid with my children at night. They go to bed with it because they do a couple stories on their own. They may read some stuff on there for educational. And then they put it away. But it was never meant to be addictive. It doesn't have the scroll,
So if they're not adding content in or being a creative inside of the platform, nothing's going to move forward. You're still kind of at that baseline. Not just as a parent, feedback from what I'm hearing so far is that it allows the kids to maintain their innocence. Right. I hate to use that word, but it allows them to maintain their innocence because they're just being organically age appropriate inside of whatever they're developing. And I just want to make sure that I'm understanding there is no internet use, or you do not need to be connected to, the internet or any other back feeder. So there's nobody else or no other device feeding from the back the data that your children are putting in, which I love.
No, they can basically, they're connected to a Wi-Fi connection, but only to the actual product itself. They don't, and a secure service, they don't go outside that. They can't get outside that. So that's the thing that's quite interesting with it. So that's what makes it kind of cool and interesting. And the children, they have their own world with it. They can, they get to do their own stuff. Here's the device right here. So this is the kid device. You can see, yeah. So it's very compact and it has everything that you want, but it does not go outside the world. It does not go into the world of YouTube. It doesn't go into the world of anything except what is on the secure creative spaces that we create for them. Parents also have the ability, they have an app with the parent, they can watch what's going on. They can see all the creative aspects that their kids are connected to and doing. So it's a very powerful tool. I'm going to bring it up here for a second. It's very powerful.
You're pulling that up. It makes me think, I can see you, visualizing you sitting on a couch with your child and you're giving them benchmarks, right? Questions to ask to kind of get them moving. Have you thought about adding, or maybe it's already in there, a feature where the children can create their own stories and go to market and say, look what you did. Here's your story and we published it. Have you thought about anything like that?
We actually have, that's going to come out right behind our launch, but we already have it. You're very smart because you're right. Because I see let the kids in the game. They can create characters. They can create stories. And let them get in the game. I mean, here's like a story that my kid created. I'll just bring it up. This is
Wanda the Witch woke up.
This early, is Wanda the Witch.
A strange rumble in her belly. She needed to go to the bathroom, but it was a big adventure for her tiny witch feet. She grabbed her magic broom and flew through her cozy cottage door, soaring high above the treetops toward the enchanted bathroom in the woods. The bathroom was a sparkling, so you can see, shimmering.
This is one of the ones that my daughter created, and there's like,
once upon a time there was a big shiny bass fish named Benny.
That's my
Benny was the biggest fish.
Benny is my friend Lorenzo's one of his best friends, and he named the bass fish because he fishes for bass in our backyard.
Benny swam to
our backyard. We have a lake, and he fixed. So he came up with Benny, and he puts it on there, and then he made this just by talking to it.
I want to buy the whole world so everyone can be friends.
So like within a minute, the best part though is that him and I. Like our kids, like they can make images. They make these very pretty images, and like these are all different images they're making right out of their imagination. So you can see it's like endless for these kids, and I love it because for me as a parent, I don't feel like I'm doing anything bad to my kids. It's something my daughter made, so it's so different. Like it's such a weird experience, to be honest. That this device, it's so hostile. And this one is so friendly that you almost have to, as a parent, reprogram myself to know, like, we get to create, we share, we do stuff like that. I'm not trying to take it away from them or the addictive thing, or, you can put time limits on it, but they do their thing. They use it. They just use it in a different way than a scroll with all that brain candy, that dopamine hit. This isn't about dopamine. This is like oxytocin. It's hitting a different part of the brain that's about creativity and connection and like laughing, not like this, like the addictive behavior.
What do you think the age range, have you identified what that age range looks like?
So we're 4 to 12 right now because the device will actually change like the pictures and the story complexity based on the child's how old they are. So it's kind of interesting because if they're a 4-year-old using it, they're engaging it with it much differently. The stories, the imagery, the characters will talk to them differently than if they are a 12-year-old. But yeah, from 4 to 12, the reason we cut it off at 12 is because kids do get this device. And like, I actually would love to substitute. My goal is to substitute this for this, but look, the biggest problem I see right now is this YouTube and YouTube kid thing. It's poison, and it really is. Like, if I look at all the things that they engage in, something with this and the content that's created on these systems on YouTube, and especially YouTube Kids, my 4-year-old said the F word many times because he saw something on YouTube Kids where somebody says the F word and they say it in a very funny way and YouTube just lets it go by. But my children are cursing, and then it doesn't represent the values of our family, that we're letting other people provide values to our children. That's what it is when we give them access to this stuff. That's what I feel like. My children are cursing, but we're not saying the F word around the house. So how does that work? You know what I'm saying?
That, right. Well, because it's learned behavior from somewhere.
They figured out the content, how to get people. And I heard it was during COVID that they sort of took off the guardrails over there at YouTube, and they just let people create this very funny content. This is a true story. A parent came into our store here in Los Altos, and his child is 5 years old, and they were going to throw him out of school because he had a very aggressive behavior. And where they figured out is that when he's watching YouTube Kids, there's these funny things, like they throw a balloon at each other and it's, oh, that's funny. Or they drop something off of a high place. They blow up a watermelon, explodes. And that's really funny as an adult because you can process it. But as a child, they're not processing it like we are. So we started to use AI storytelling through what we're doing through Kid to get his child to write stories that included himself, his parents, and the teachers in a way that his child started to learn through content, his own content that he created. This is normal behavior. This is the values of our family, because the father worked with him on the values of their family. Let's create stories around that, So versus like, I got some third party telling my kid that throwing a water balloon or saying the F word is funny It's not funny as a parent. It's not a joke. No, you know that. So,
you know, right now your children are little. This is a product that you've developed for generations to come. So what does it look like for you, you know, in the future as you're developing? And one of my questions is, do you see this where devices can connect and merge and share stories? Or are these always going to be standalone units? You know, I'm looking at, this is amazing because every new parent, their intention is to make the best, well-rounded child they can produce. And then life gets in the way, right? So what does the what does it look like, you know, or have you not forecasted because you're still in that development, go-to-market strategy right now mode?
No, we actually, we're launching, you know, obviously we're starting to sell the products now. And in this version, you actually can, kids can share stories with each other and they can improve their stories or add to the story. So I create a story, I send it to Rhonda. Rhonda then adds to the story, sends it back to Rob. I'm like, wow. And then I can add back. So we actually have the ability to share stories between authorized kid devices. So the parent app allows two children to authorize sharing. Then I can see them sharing characters. Then we can see them talking to each other. I love them to talk through characters. Like, there's no camera on here, by the way. We didn't put a camera on because it's a very challenging thing to put cameras on. You don't need it with AI. So children could create a character. It could represent them. They could talk to their friends in real time using the character. So that's where we're going. But we do have right now story sharing and story evolution built-in product. So I do see a whole world where educators, like parents come in and they'll say, like, my kid has something like ADHD or they're on the spectrum. And I want to create things on the device to help my child engage with a device and content that I think could help them. And great. So create it. Part of it is like parents, you know, it's a hard job being a parent, as you know. Like I'm new to it with three kids. But I feel like we don't get a lot of help on the technology side. You know what I'm saying? Like most of technology is hostile to us versus like, and we can take into our hands how we can help our children. We can help our children engage with this type of technology. We can use AI to do that. It's not perfect, but it puts a lot more power even for us to help our children. So,
you know, I love everything that you're representing. Let's dive in for a few minutes on the business aspect. You produce this. It's great for your kids. It's a go-to-market. We're getting ready for the holidays, right? So let's walk through who are your top three prospects that you would want to be selling this product to?
I mean, it's really, you know, moms and dads are obviously going to be buying the product. I think it's, you know, early adopters are really interesting people. And we created like called a Dreamers Club. So the first 5,000 parents and kids that come in will be part of something special, which they're going to have a direct hand in how we obviously develop our products that we're going to do. We're going to allow them to be, they're going to get access to educational, like we give AI courses, we're bringing them online. But the bigger picture to me is that it's going to be hard to defeat the powers to be. And we need parents that want to take an active role into solving the problem. I created this, you know, and it now exists in the world. This is not content just from us. This content that's from you and your family. Then you'll be able to share it, educators. So everything that's in here is malleable. And what we need is a group of early adopter parents that want to get in with us, build a community to make the change. It's not good enough that books are written and there's a nonprofit and there's this and that about, we got to help our kids. We can't let this go on one more day. Our children being, you know, killed by social media, being affected by things like YouTube Kids. And we feel help. No more excuses. Like I put, you know, millions of dollars into, like personally into wanting this done because I won't, as a technologist, I have the power to do these things. Like, and I figured, but I can't do it alone. It's not like I never want a kid company to be Rob LoCascio's company, or it's just the people who work at kid company are the employees and team. No, I want kid company to be a community of parents and children. I have this vision in my head one day that we'll have this, you know, thousands of people in some place and all families coming together. It won't look like anything like Apple has with their little premier events with you can only get in there if you're a techie or you're important or you're Tim Cook or you're brilliant. I want to have families, and it's going to feel like a family outing with thousands of them. And we're to get, and kids are up on stage showing their creations, and parents are talking about how I helped my child develop and do all, and we have the power to do that now. This product is it will give us the power to do that, but we need that community. We need the first 5,000 families to be like,
we're going to do that for you.
We're doing this. We're going to take down YouTube Kids. We're done with it. We're going to stop it. We have an alternative now. My kids play with this thing instead of YouTube Kids. They love it. They're using it. They laugh. I'm creating with them. We have an alternative. So it's our responsibility now to let's get in the game.
Let me ask you. So we're going to get ready to go into the holidays. We're looking for 5,000 families. So we're going to do a push for you.
I need it. That's why I'm here, Rhonda. I need all the help. You know, starting out's hard.
Listen, I get it. I deal with entrepreneurs and creatives every day. How much is the product? Tell us a little bit. I know that we're running a little late, but just before I end, important for me, where do we buy it? How much does it cost? And what is the subscription? I'm sure we have a subscription that's built in.
Yeah, so we are $299 one-time fee for the whole product, all the hardware, everything you get, and then $19 a month for all the AI software that you're using here. There's a software here that the kids create with. There's an app for parents so they can see all the creations. Parents can also do something really cool. We added in that parents can set a time and a date. So like at 8 a.m. in the morning, or my kids wake up at 6:30. At 7 o'clock, I can send down to the device a character that rings the children, and they open it up and the characters talk to them, says like, let's make a game, make our bed. And it like tells the kids, so parents could create a character. So there's software also, as there's an app for the parents to do things on the device to help their kids through. And then there's a creator portal, which will become this marketplace. So yeah, so for $19 a month, you get all that, you get support. Get to join this creator club, the dreamers, and all of that with that. So,
and they can go to kidco.ai to purchase.
That's right. Go to kidco.ai to purchase. And, you know, we have very small supply, for the holidays. We have like these 5,000 units. That's what we made. I wanted to keep it because, you know, this is not a toy. This is not like a toy from China or Japan. We're throwing it on. This is an ongoing thing. So I want to start with a small group of families. Let's work together. Let's create that community together. And let's build a company together that can finally, we can say, we made the change that our children will no longer be harmed by a device, and that we will enable our children to use AI because of the AI generation in a way that's going to be positive, to be their best creators, to use it for connection and community. We need to answer all those questions, and we can do that by them joining us in this movement.
I love it. Once again, everybody, thank you for tuning in. We were speaking with Rob LoCascio. So if you are looking for the next best thing for this holiday season, consider going to kidco.ai, purchase, and be part of the initial movement of that 5,000 units that are available. So until next time, stay tuned, be safe, and we'll chat real soon.
Thanks, Rhonda. Thanks, everybody.